As with all gifts of the Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit and acting when and only when the Holy Spirit directs is very important. Hello everyone, I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about encouragement. One can be encouraged simply by reading and meditating on Scripture. And one can be encouraged by talking to God through prayer. You know, the Bible also tells us that some of us have been entrusted with the spiritual gift of encouragement. But as with all the gifts of the Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit and acting when and only when the Holy Spirit directs is very important. Well, in a moment, Ken brings us part two of The Power of Encouragement.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be with you as we continue with the second part of The Power of Encouragement. We are still going to talk about what it means to be encouraged ourselves, because that is the starting point. And if we would be an encourager to others, we must know what it means to be encouraged ourselves. To be strong and effective in the ministry of encouragement, we need to be consistently found in a state of encouragement ourselves. And if you have been with us yesterday, we considered two ways in which we can be encouraged. The first is to be encouraged by someone. And secondly, it is to be encouraged by the Spirit, that is the Spirit of God. For today, we are going to move away from the book of Acts, where we were yesterday, to the letter of Paul to the Romans. Let's first go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. The third way to be encouraged is by spiritual gifts, which is what Romans 12 majors on. But in particular, I would like to focus on the mention of encouragement as one of the spiritual gifts that are listed. Reading from Romans 12, verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching." And here it is in verse 8, "He who exhorts or encourages in exhortation or encouragement. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." I find that we often wrongly overemphasize the more outstanding gifts, those which tend to have a greater public exposure. So whenever we talk about spiritual gifts, I like to counteract that by focusing and drawing attention to the gifts which are less spectacular and more ordinary, so that we don't get the wrong idea that spiritual gifts are for some specially elect group of people. Every believer in the Church of Jesus Christ is empowered and gifted to fulfill his or her function and role within the body of Christ. This becomes more manageable and realistic and doable when we consider the commoner gifts such as serving, that's what ministry means in verse 7, or exhorting or giving in verse 8. Because there are so many needs around us, we need every gift that God has graciously bestowed to members of the local church in order to fulfill those needs. In fact, my favorite gift is given in the listing of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it is simply described as the gift of helps. I wonder if you have ever realized that there was such a spiritual gift as this, the gift of helps. It seems so plain and ordinary that it just doesn't register on our list of spiritual gifts. It certainly doesn't have a ring of spirituality about it. And this is not helped by being mentioned in the same verse with all the other special and outstanding spiritual gifts. This is how 1 Corinthians 12:28 reads, "And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." Did you notice that little and often overlooked gift of helps, sandwiched between the more spectacular and high-sounding gifts of dealings, and administrations. So likewise, our spiritual gift of exhortation or encouragement belongs to this category. Surely helps is something that every member of the Church of Jesus Christ can be involved in and do. And similarly, every member of the church can be an exhorter or an encourager. But the point for our consideration in this first part is how to be encouraged. And this is one way in which we can be encouraged. We can be strengthened and encouraged through the exercise of spiritual gifts within the body of Christ, and in particular, the gift of encouragement or exhortation. And did you know, it doesn't always have to be with words. We have somehow grown used to the idea that in order to help someone or to encourage someone, we have to say something. But remember, the ministry of encouragement is basically the ministry of being alongside someone or just being there. And in some situations, words are helpless or even useless. It's presence or action that counts. I was once visiting and preaching in another church. At the end of the meeting, a brother came up to me to thank me for the message and graciously offered to help in a way that I have never received before or since then. Without knowing my needs, he simply asked if I had any electrical faults to be rectified in our home. Well, to my great surprise and gratitude, I had not just one, but a number of electrical defects to be rectified that had been accumulated over the years. So this dear brother, who was not even from my own church, took a full morning of his time, came to my house, and rectified the electrical faults that were outstanding. That stands in my memory as a powerful demonstration of what the spiritual help of gifts, of service, and of encouragement is like. What a tremendous encouragement that was to me, not through words, but through his practical action and help. And although it arose out of a church meeting, and I'm glad for that, it didn't happen in a church meeting or setting, but in our home. Back to our passage in Romans chapter 12, you find that the thrust of the argument there is, if you have got it, use it, or else you might lose it. So if you have the gift of serving or ministry, let's use it in our ministering or our serving. If you have the gift of teaching, well, use it in teaching. And if you have the gift of exhortation or encouragement, then go use it to encourage and to exhort others. It is a spiritual gift only when it is used for the benefit of others in the body of Christ. And if it is not used for that purpose or toward that end, it may be a gift, but it is not spiritual in that it is not fulfilling a spiritual function. Again, considering it from the point of the receiving end, what it means to be encouraged, the question is, are we allowing others to encourage us in the Spirit through the exercise of spiritual gifts? Or are we so self-sufficient that we try to do everything ourselves? So do not be over-independent and try to do it all by yourself. Some people are always giving but find it very difficult to receive. But in the body of Christ, we need to learn to receive by grace as well as to give by grace. So be attentive and be open to the ministry of encouragement in church meetings as well as out of them that can come through the exercise of spiritual gifts that God has given to all members. And you will be pleasantly surprised at the rich diversity and variety of ways in which you can be strengthened and encouraged through others that you have never thought of or imagined before. Next, still staying on the book of Romans, in chapter 15, verse 4, we consider a fourth way to be encouraged, and that is by Scripture. And it's interesting to see that the context is about the strong bearing with the failings of the weak and not pleasing ourselves. Let me read to you from verse 1 of Romans 15. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. And here in the next verse, in verse 4, is the reference to being encouraged by Scripture. Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort, that's our word for encouragement, that we, through the patience and encouragement of the Scriptures, might have hope. Whatever is written in the Scriptures, including those historical accounts in the Old Testament, they are written for our endurance and for our encouragement, so that we do not give up hope, but instead might have hope. So reading the Scriptures and feeding on it enable us to keep on going and to keep up our spirits. Sometimes it is not only the weak who get discouraged, but the strong who have to bear with the weaknesses and the failures of the weak. In our own human capacity, we can only do so much. And there will come a time when we are just exasperated or frustrated, when we have had enough. It's easy to be discouraged and to get impatient with others who are less smart or less able than you, especially when you have to bear with them over an extended period of time. And I think one of the ways in which the Scriptures do this is through a very honest and down-to-earth portrayal of different men and women of God in all their humanity, and that includes both their successes as well as their sins, of their victories as well as their struggles. When we read of all the inward anguish and exercise of heart and spirit by men like Paul or David, it gives us hope and encouragement to be able to identify ourselves with what they have gone through themselves. We have considered before how God's encouragement can come to us through the Holy Spirit, and very often this comes in conjunction with the Scriptures. So it's the Holy Spirit that quickens or makes alive the Scriptures that we read. This is more than a mental recall of the facts that we have read, but it's a spiritual recall by the Holy Spirit bringing to remembrance the words that God has spoken to us. So Scriptures and the Spirit of God work hand in hand. But the emphasis for this section is on the Scriptures, how to be encouraged by the Scriptures. And for that to happen as a reality, we must consistently give ourselves to reading, studying, and feeding on the Word of God. If we want the Holy Spirit to recall and bring to remembrance the Word that He has spoken to us, we must be diligent in storing up the Scriptures and the Word of God in our hearts and minds. He doesn't work in a vacuum. He works in cooperation with our efforts. But the way in which God gives us an uplifting word just for the need of the hour is amazing and exciting at times. And the more you have experienced this, the more convinced you will be in turning to God's Word to be strengthened and encouraged at a time of dejection and discouragement. I distinctly remember a verse from Psalm 18, which God gave to me that I hung on to as a promise to help me overcome a great struggle I had at that time. One of the things I dreaded most in my trainee days in the Army during National Service is the obstacle course. And what made it worse was that the very first obstacle, which was a 6-foot wall, was my biggest obstacle. I could clear all the rest of the obstacles except this first one. And if you don't clear the first obstacle, you don't scale the wall, you don't go anywhere. You haven't even got started. So that was my great struggle. And there, right in the middle of one of the precious Psalms of David, in Psalm 18 verse 29, he wrote this, "For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall." How about that? It literally leaped off the pages of the Bible into my struggling situation. I'm not sure what David exactly went through to make him write like that. But at that time, and in that struggle, and in that situation, it looks as if God has written that particular verse in the Bible just for me. So I took that as God's word and God's promise for me. By my God, I can leap over a wall. It took a while and some effort, but there came a day when I did it. And for times and experiences like this, when we can easily be defeated by discouragement rather than an actual or eventual inability to achieve something, this is what we need to hear, the word of encouragement that brings renewed hope and keeps us going. This is what the prophet Isaiah described as a word in season. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, it says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary." And if we were to ask, how do we speak such a word in season to him who is weary? Well, the answer comes right next in the same verse. "He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned." So as we diligently spend time daily in our morning watch with God and in reading the Bible meditatively and devotionally, He will speak the word in season for that particular day. It may be for us, or it is to be given for someone else. In any case, it is something that only comes to us as we awaken morning by morning to hear from Him and to learn from His word. And His word is always an encouraging word. This is what our daily Bible reading should do for us. It is to encourage us by hearing God speak from His word to us and to our situation. And we can in turn feed and minister encouragement to others with the word in season that we have received from Him. In Psalm 119, that longest psalm, which is also a psalm of the word of God, in verse 28 it says, "My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word." That's a good prayer to make when our soul is melting with heaviness and we are seeking God's encouragement from His word. Here is another encouraging word from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." And the Living Bible makes it even clearer. It says, "A word of encouragement does wonders." The marvel is that so often we prefer to live with our anxieties and our worries instead of seeking to be strengthened from the Scriptures. The more we experience this, how a good word makes us glad and a word of encouragement does wonders to us, the more we will want to do it whenever we stand in need of encouragement, and the less we will want to turn to other ways and means. Next, let us move on to a fifth way to be encouraged, and that is by the Son, that is by Jesus Christ. And we read of this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." So it's through the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, as well as our God and Father. This means that we are encouraged by looking up to the throne of God in heaven, where Jesus is now seated on the right hand, whereas the previous points all relate to things that we can find on the earth. To be encouraged by the Son of God means to be encouraged through prayer that connects us to the throne of God, where Jesus is now seated on the right hand of the Father. The throne of God is the place of refuge and strength. It is our present help in a time of need and a place where we should continually resort. Notice the very significant phrase in relation to consolation or encouragement given to us in this verse 16. "Has given us everlasting consolation," or eternal encouragement, "and good hope by grace." Now here is something more than just a word of encouragement or a word in season. It is an eternal encouragement, and it is given by grace. It's something that is always available, and it's all we will ever need. It's not something that is transient or temporary. It doesn't just come to pass. The question is, are we tapping on this source of boundless confidence and eternal encouragement that resides with the risen Lord Jesus Christ now reigning from His throne in heaven? When we are down, is this the first place we would resort, the place of prayer? It is only when we come before the throne of grace, in the place of prayer, that our attention is drawn away from all that is plaguing us presently, and instead we are drawn heavenward to be plugged in to the power of Christ. We normally come into the place of prayer full of our present problems and predicament and our requests for suggested solutions. But as we persist in prayer, we find ourselves being filled and strengthened and encouraged by the Lord Himself, as a result of which the problems become less pressing, and that is the beginning of prevailing prayer. When we come into the presence of the Lord, we don't plead our own temperament as a handicap. It's fruitless to continue thinking and insist that you're a pessimist or that you're a melancholic person. When you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved, you are made a new creation, and that includes being changed in your disposition to one of eternal encouragement. Have we realized this before, that this everlasting consolation or eternal encouragement that we read of here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, is part and parcel of eternal salvation? The good hope is the end we look forward to, and the means by which this is worked out for us in the here and now is the good word and the good work. As it says in verse 17, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And this should be the greatest motivation for the present. It is a sure and a good hope for the future. Things always look easier and brighter when seen in that light. So those are the five ways in which we can encourage ourselves. By someone, by the Spirit, by spiritual gifts, by Scripture, and by the Son. And I hope you have been refreshed by the Lord's presence and reached by His Word.
As Ken says, be encouraged in Christ. He is our everlasting consolation and eternal encouragement given by grace. Thank you for that, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, and I invite you to join us again tomorrow for part 3 of The Power of Encouragement. In the meantime, we'd love to hear from you. You can send Ken a text message at 9431-3813, or you can write to him at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915-714. And Times of Refreshing is also on Facebook. You can get the latest updates, you can socialize with the Times of Refreshing fans, and you can give your own views right on our very own Facebook page. And while you're there, I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, to listen to the program online. And Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that allows you to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from your iPhone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.